Welcome to Awakenings Movement Podcast. Awakenings Movement is a community where dreamers become believers and believers become doers.
Be at home with yourself. Be at home with yourself. Being at home with yourself is difficult. Why? Because there are so many people who treat us like strangers who know us well. Have you ever been treated more like a stranger by people you know than people you don't know? I've had that experience before. And it was when I was in college. And I decided that I was going to matriculate from the magnificent and beautiful school that is known as Lamar. Maribel B. Lamar, that's right. L-A-L-A-M-M-M-M-A-R-L-A-M-M-M-R. Go Lamar. Fight, fight, fight. But thank you, Tracy. You know what, Regina? This does not stand for Lamar when it comes to you around your alma mater shit. This stands for loser. How could you not know? Lamar was a great experience, but I decided to graduate from Lamar, but I had a girlfriend who was in the 11th grade. Don't judge me, right? Actually, no, I think she was in the 10th grade. I didn't ask for any comments, ma'am. Podcast listeners, I'm so sorry. That's my wife. So I left and I went to school and decided for some strange reason to maintain my relationship with her. And she was great. She was a kind soul. Anyway, so we continued to date until it was time for her to go to school. She went to school, and she just so happened to go to Clark. And it was in the AUC, which is a community of African-American, historically black colleges and universities, like all share the same library. And you go on the yard, like the lawn of the library on a Friday, and you see an amalgamation of all different kinds of people of color from all over the globe. And it's just an amazing experience. But it's probably really difficult for a person who has a boyfriend in another city. Why you laughing, Regina? Why you? She over there like, I love this story. Anyway, I was dating her. I was going to Fisk University in Nashville, Tennessee. She was in Clark, Atlanta, in Georgia. And one day I decided that I would surprise her and just come onto the campus. And so I did, and it was like a couple of days before Freaknik. We were going to Freaknik. And for holy purposes, we were going to proselytize the gospel and to pass out Bibles. And so while we were there, my friends and I, we pulled up in front of her dorm, and then we didn't have cell phones, you know what I mean? And so I went to the payphone in front of the dorm, and I called, and my friends were in the car, and the phone was ringing, and I was like, she gonna pick up. I know she up there. I'm not gonna say her name. Judy, that's not her name. Judy. I was like, man, where is Judy? And I was on the payphone, and I was like, God, man, that guy has really beautiful hair. That dude, he looks like Elder Barge. And I was like, the girl holding his hand looked just like Judy. Judy! And then she did like this. She let that boy's hand go and tapped him like this. She tapped him out. Tap, tap. And she walked up. I was like, who's Elder Barge? This dude looked like Elder Barge with long hair. You know what I'm saying? I was like, who's Elder? I was like, what's up? My boys was in the car. They were dying laughing. And I'm crying. I'm acting a fool. I'm like, how can you do this to me? What kind of person? Like, they ended up, like, calling campus security because I'm like, what's going on? I can't believe this. It was like they thought it was about to be a domestic violence case. I came all the way from Nashville, Tennessee. I mean, it was horrible. It was horrible. And there was one song that we had tapes back then that I sent to her on a tape. And I thought that it captured my feelings. That song went like this. Some of you may know it. I put this one song on a tape. for 60 minutes, the song over and over again. Judy, why didn't you let me know? Check this, when I what? The way I feel. You may not be in the mood, right? I was like, man, when at your best, the song says, you are what? You're a positive motivating force within my life. But should you ever feel the need, let me know. Just let me know. Why didn't you let me know? I could have got a wig. I could have got a little lighter. She didn't let me know, right? And there were probably things that were happening that I was not aware of, you know. But I will say that that was the most seminal moment in terms of my relationship with other people. And I really had to step back and evaluate what was happening in my life. How could this be happening in my own mind? And it may seem frivolous to you, like, man, boy, please, boy, bye. That was college, right? But I was coming to understand what it meant to be in relationships with other people and to assess my own feelings as I am also sensitive to other people's feelings. Sometimes we are very sensitive to our own feelings and so sensitive that in ways that we don't know, we communicate to other people that we detest their feelings. Our sensitivity, we're so rooted in understanding so what we think is us. Like, I'm not the one, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not the one to be that, and I'm not the one, but what about the ones around you who are impacted by the one that you are? And so when it comes to being at home with yourself, I think that there are three expressions of who we are. There's the you that you know, there's the you that other people know, and then there's the what? There's the real you. And I think relationships with others help us to move through those layers. So today I'm going to speak to the core of who you are. Like who you really are. What would happen in the world if everybody just owned who they were? Can you imagine how that would impact the relationships that we share with other people? What would it feel like if you could just be yourself? And not on the superficial level, where you could talk crazy like you want to talk crazy. Like, I'm just going to be me. No, that's not really you. I mean, I'm just the kind of person, I just keep it real. But that's not real. What if you could really be you? Now, this is my interpretation. Blessed are they who are at home with themselves. Wherever they go, they are at home. Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. But let's read the scripture. Turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. Jesus is an amazing representation of a person who was at home with himself. So at home with himself that he made other people feel at home with themselves. I must not have been at home with myself because I didn't make Deplum Stardust Robinson feel like. Yeah, I said your name. I'm going to edit it. Is that anybody's cousin? Praise the Lord. I probably wasn't at home with herself, so I brought dis-ease to her. Do you understand the relationship between that? When you are at home with yourself, you make other people feel at home first with you and then with themselves. But when you are not at home with yourself, you make other people feel like they're a foreigner in a strange land when they're in your presence. Because you are a foreigner in a strange land in your own presence. So the scripture says this. When Jesus saw his ministry drawing huge crowds, he climbed a hillside. Those who were apprenticed to him, they climbed with him. Arriving at a quiet place, he sat down and taught his climbing companions. This is what he said. You're blessed. Let's read this together. Ready? Read.
You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and his reward.
Isn't that an odd oxymoron? If there's less of you, there's more of God. Which means that there are some things to shed about us that will allow us to get to the core of who we are, which is God, right? When there's less of the superficial you, right? The you that you know, or even the you that others know. the more the real you can shine. Then he said this, you're blessed when you're content with just who you are. No more, no less. That's the moment you find yourselves proud owners of everything that can't be bought. Don't you want to be a proud owner of what you can't even buy? A value that can't be bought? Now, this is Eugene Peterson's interpretation of the text. The traditional text says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. There's a way of meekness. Meekness only comes from knowing who you truly are. A person, like, if you're going to fight three people, and there are two people on either side of this one person I'm going to describe, and the people on either side of that one person, they talking loud, they taking off their earrings, they pulling out the Vaseline that's in their back pocket, putting on their face, they doing all this here. Oh, you don't know who you messing with right now. But then it's that one person that's in the center looking at you like this. Which one are you more afraid of? That person in the center looking at you just like this here. With a little smile, like. That's JR. No, seriously, I was talking to somebody the other day, and I was like, hey, was that Shelly? I don't know who it is. I was like, hey, now you know that JR is a prized boxer. Did you guys know that JR is like a prized boxer? Right? Like, I know, right? But look at him. Look at him right now. Look. You see how he got his hands hidden? Because he knows they're weapons, baby. You don't pull your guns out just... No willy-nilly gunslinging. There's something about meekness that's connected to ownership of your true self. When you know the power that you have, that you are a prized fighter in life, you don't have to boast about how well you fight or how well others don't fight, because you are uniquely at home with yourself, which is why the Bible says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the whole earth, which means that wherever they go, they feel like they're at home. You go to South Africa, you're at home. You go to Kenya, you're at home. You go to Czechoslovakia, you're at home. You go to Dechen, you're at home. You go to the Czech Republic, I can't remember which one it is these days. You're at home, right? You are at home wherever you are because you are at home first with your what? And you don't need to do anything more in the layer of yourself that is around who people say you are. You don't even need to do anything more in the layer around yourself for the people, for the person that you think you are. Shelly, where are my, what you call them? Yeah, just throw one to me. So Marlon, can you please help me get to some strategies for how to be JR in my spirit, right? Scripture says this, look at the lilies and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. Earlier in the scripture, it refers to God the Father caring for us and us not needing to worry. You know, when it comes to how God cares for us kind of something like Anthony cares for his girls. In fact, I want to show you a little bit. Slide. Yeah, you too. What? Get it. Head. My favorite part. My favorite part of the video is that Anthony does D'Anthony. That's where Dad meets Anthony. D'Anthony does all of these crazy moves, right, to draw this place of ease for his children, this place of adventure for his children. And what does he conclude his magnificent choreography with? Peace. If you look out into nature, nature is like God's choreography. It's a way in which God informs humanity that he's not just in control, but that he equips us to live free. If you have ever frolicked in a natural environment, and saw things with new eyes like a kid, you have seen God. God's mission in the life of man, through nature, into the very soul of man, is the conclusion of Anthony's choreography. What?
Peace.
Peace equals meekness. And meekness equals being what? At home with yourself. The best way to know that you have permission to be with yourself is to watch the sunset. You see how beautiful God, like, paints the sky, and you say to yourself, man, if God did that, that's the same God that's in me, at work in me, then maybe I can love me. Blessed are they who are at home. So we've been using this article to sort of drive our teaching around being at home with yourself. And it's a really great article about these four rituals for happiness. And I think we sent it out in the email. I hope that all of you guys got a chance to read it. And there are four rituals that bring people to a place of meekness, that brings people to a place of peace, that brings them to a place where they can be where? At home with what? Themselves. Four rituals. They call it happiness, but I call it being at home with yourself. And there are four rituals. One ritual we talked about last week, and that ritual was gratitude. And we learned, not just based on a theory, but based on the neurology of the brain, like the way that the brain operates and the electrical function and connections of the brain, that gratitude through testing informs the brain and grows the density of neurological connection stronger than anything else, right? One study found that it actually affected neuron density in both the ventromedial and lateral prefrontal cortex. I don't even know where those things are. One study found that it actually affected neuron density. So listen, the more grateful you are about who you are, the more you grow your own brain. You know what? You do Pilates, gray matter wise, when you express gratitude in your life. And this is what the article said. It said, you know what the antidepressant Wellbutrin does? Boost the neurotransmitter dopamine. So does owning your feelings. The second thing that they say you can do to experience happiness, what I call being at what? Home with yourself, what Jesus called being meek. The second thing that you could do is to own your feelings. Do you know that many of us are so unaware of our feelings? And do you know the number one reason why we don't know what our feelings are? We don't own our feelings mostly because we're so busy charging other people up about how we think we feel that we don't own our own feelings. And the more you charge somebody up about how you feel without first owning your feelings, the more you'll owe them an apology. I said, the more you charge people up about how they're making you feel without first owning your own feelings, the more you'll owe them an apology. You know what Prozac does? Boost the neurotransmitter, serotonin. So does owning your feelings. You grow gray matter when you simply stop and assess first how the you that's at home with yourself is feeling before you share how you're feeling with someone else. Because it may be that what you're sharing is not a clear articulation of what you're feeling, because you don't first assess home before you get out in these streets blaming other people for why home ain't what it's supposed to be. Here's the thing that I love. Does it matter? You don't have to find anything. It's the searching that counts. So they hooked up two people, and they put one person on this neurotransmitter connection to, like, test their brain activity, and they did the same thing to another person. Person A, when they began to search, for how they told them to think of the most hurtful experience that they've ever had and to try to write down the names of the words that describe how they feel, right? Person A, when their feelings got hurt, they immediately wrote down 10 to 15 words that represent how they felt. Sad, mad, angry, disgusted, abused, hurt. Person B, connected to the same electrical instruments, had a problem because they were, I guess, were not as emotionally articulate. So they had a challenge. They were like, how did I feel? I don't know how I felt. I know what happened, but I don't quite know how I feel, Jason. And so the act of seeking your feelings is just as beneficial to your brain as being accurate with the feelings. It's in the searching that your brain grows. It's in the desire to know your feelings that your brain grows, not in the destination. And ain't that like life? Thank you, God. Ain't that like life? That life is not just about this one specific destination, but life is around your destiny through a journey. So it is with your feelings. And here's the thing I'm trying to get to. Owning your feelings is not being perfect with knowing exactly how you feel at any given moment. It's having the courage to say to yourself, is what I'm feeling really what I'm feeling? And if it's not, then what am I feeling? And is that my feeling or is this my feeling? To uniquely search yourself, as the Bible says, to know your feelings before you serve other people. Own your feelings. Master your feelings and don't become a slave to them. There are two options. Either you will master the art of searching your feelings or you'll become a slave to them. You'll be the kind of person who is not capable of responding in situations where there is stress because you're too busy reacting. The ownership of your feelings before you charge someone else. Take ownership of your feelings before you charge someone else up, or you will owe them an apology. How many people in the room owe somebody an apology because you charged them up about your feelings? What would happen if we first took ownership of our own feelings? In other words, maybe we don't feel this way about that person. Maybe we feel that way about this person. And if you can assess how you feel about this person first, maybe you won't be so upset with that person. Because it may be that the thing that you're upset with that person about is the thing that you're struggling with. So how do we do this? First, you need to say to yourself, I am not my feelings. Oh, my God. 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 I am not my feelings. I am not my freaking feelings. I am not my freaking feelings. I am not a feeling that has a body and soul. I am a soul that has feelings. Do you know the difference? Sometimes we think that how we feel is who we are. But how you feel can change, but who you are is eternal. So they can't be the two, one and the same. The lily that you are to the Father in the valley of eternity is who you are. The blades of grass and the soil under you, blades of grass around you, those are just environments that nurture the development of your lily. Your feelings are not an end to which you are called as a person. They are a means to the end to which you grow as a person. Having a reason to be angry does not give you the right to be unreasonable. So this is where it shows up. It shows up looking like this. Let me do this. Oh, sorry. I'm always nervous because y'all know I'm dyslexic and I get words mixed up. And then my friends here for the first time, I'm so nervous with you being here, man. I know. So anyway, check this out. I'm just joking. I'm very comfortable with you being here. I'm at home with myself in this moment. And I hope that you feel like this is home for you, okay? So, check this out. Okay. All of my life, I was taught by experiences, right? Danielle Burns, you could probably curate this at the MoMA. Thank you, Anthony. That means a lot coming from you. All of my life, I thought that who I was as a person was made up based on how I feel. So I was a great person when I felt what? Great. I was a happy person when I felt what?
Happy.
But I was a bad person when I felt what?
Bad.
Or I was a mad person when I felt what?
Mad.
Oh, this doesn't even look right. Why doesn't it look right? That looks... Oh, Anthony, come on, that's such pressure! Somebody take a picture, put it on Instagram. So, I thought that how I felt was who Marlon is. Like, that's who Marlon is how I'm feeling in any given moment. But what if there is a whole nother way of understanding who you are that doesn't have anything to do with your feelings? Like, what if at our core, we are who we are? I'm Marlon. Now, around Marlon, there are feelings. And around feelings, there are my thoughts. And around my thoughts, there's my body, like my living body. Again, the intention today is to communicate to you that you must be at home with yourself. And one of the ways we become foreigners in a strange land in our own bodies is because we're not emotionally intelligent enough to even reach towards knowing how we feel. And we think how we feel directly informs who we are. Body, mind, and feelings. The core of who Marlon is going to be this way, no matter how he feels on the outside, no matter what he thinks in his brain, no matter how he feels in his body. In fact, this part of me, when my body goes away, and if God blesses me to be up there with Siba, I know Siba going to heaven. My body is gone. When my mind is gone and I grow old and Regina puts me in a assisted living facility, she becomes Gina who got her groove back, I'm still going to be Marlon. And guess what? Even if I have no feeling on any given subject, I'm still going to be who? We are who we are, and we feel what we feel, and we think what we think, and our body is what it is, but our body doesn't determine who we are, and our thoughts don't determine who we are, and our feelings don't determine who we are. I am not my feelings. So in any given moment, you need to use how you feel as a hallway through which you travel to get to the core of who you are. Don't confuse the how you feel with the who you are. Because if you confuse the how you feel with the who you are, you won't know what to do next. One of our church members, by the way, Danielle's doing great. And she went to the hospital the day before yesterday. And they kicked her out, told her to go home. Baby Sage is not coming on her time. Danielle, fanfare. Well, Danielle is pregnant. I don't know if that's prophetic. But Danielle is pregnant, and her due date was last week. She's the other pastor who leads here. She's the smarter one, the person who preaches better. And so she's having a baby, and she's doing great. And you guys know that we've been praying for two members of our family who are both pregnant. Danielle, 9 months pregnant, and Tasha, 6 months pregnant. And I'm sad to say that Tasha lost her baby 2 days ago. And yesterday she was brave enough to give birth to a baby whose body was limp. So when I went to go visit her, I'm cussing God all the way up on the elevator. I'm like, man, you dirty. This is dirty. Tasha's been physically battling. This is dirty. How could you let this happen? So I'm angry at God all the way up, you know? And let me say something about that. Jesus said, be angry, but what? Sin not. In other words, you can have a reason to be angry, but still not be unreasonable in your relationship with God. Sin is unreasonability. A person who is sinful is a person who is out the spiritual reasoning necessary to navigate their destiny. So that's all sin is. Sin is being unreasonable with God's purpose in your life. So anything that makes you unreasonable, like God says you're supposed to live holy, but you be like doing all kinds of crazy stuff, that's sin. God says you're supposed to be nice and you being mean. And your destiny is nicety or being kind. That's sin. So I was angry with God, but I wasn't sinning because I was still reasoning with him. Like, why did you, what's going on? So I walk into the room and, I'm doing this here. I'm like, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry. Like, don't wail. Because y'all know I just want to walk in there like, no, not you, Tasha, not baby Dylan, no. Just like that, exactly like that. But I kept it cool. I came in and, you know, we left, we talked, and I sat down, and I said, hey, I said, how you feeling? She said, I feel fine. I said, I'm so sorry you lost Dylan. She said, yeah, I lost him, but she said, he ain't lost. And I'm angry with God, so I'm like, where is he? Say he's with God. You see, Tasha uniquely understands that baby Dylan's body was not who he was. I'm sorry, who he is. His soul is eternal. And even though his body is gone, and his body was in the room, she held his body. And I'm thinking to myself, why would you do this to yourself? But she knew she was holding what held who he was, but she was not holding who he was, because he's an is, and he's in heaven. My friends, I challenge you to use that tragedy as a lesson as we conclude. When your body, the outer layer of who you are, passes away, when your mind is not clear about where you are, when your feelings are going haywire, stop and say to yourself, I am not my feelings. In that moment, you get into the living room of the home that you are. And then you ask yourself, how am I feeling? You move into the place of rest, the bedroom of the home that you are. And you rest in that space. And you wrestle in that space, knowing that you are not going to, number one, charge nobody up about how you feel until you get charged up in the bedroom, resting with your feelings, first with yourself. Her name is Robin. And Robin, you guys know that Anthony designed this, and it was for baby sage's showers, like all kinds of like sage hanging down, and all kinds of like organic stuff hanging down. And Robin looked up, and the stuff was dying. And Robin looked up, she was like, you know what? Robin has a sustainable business where she turns trash and takes trash and turns it into treasure. And she travels all over like the Houston area and the surrounding areas looking for things to repurpose. Like that is her business. And it's a new business in the most beautiful time in her life. And I just want to celebrate you for having the courage to start something new in your life. I want to conclude with you first looking up. Look up.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It's very beautiful. When I first saw it, I was like, ah, I love the color scheme. But then when I looked at it, I was like, oh my God, this is so you. Can you tell us what it's made from?
It's approximately 200 shopping bags. And they came from, the yellow ones are Papa Do's. The brown ones are Kroger's and Home Depot. The white ones are like 99 cent store. The gray ones are from Lowe's.
And so she's repurposing what was and what some other people call trash. So some people called it a container for their red beans and rice. You know what I mean? But that's not who they are. What they are is beautiful piece of artwork. And maybe that's not even what they are. We'll never know what these things are, because they probably may outlive us in terms of how they are used. Can you imagine that God wants to repurpose who you are through how you feel? So that even if you feel low, like you trash, that God can turn the trashiest feeling that you have about who you are into what's most treasured about how you're developing. You are not your feelings. You have feelings, but your feelings don't have you. You are had by the creator of the cosmos. And you, my friends, are the lilies in his valley. We're going to ask Russell to come up and to talk about offering. But then I'm going to do an altar call. And I'm going to invite you guys to come to the altar and to bring who you really are to the altar. Because through a time of prayer, we're going to repurpose your feelings and pray that you are rooted not in your feelings going forward, but rooted in your soul.